Well, good evening and welcome to our evening service. As Willie said when he first opened, we are going through a series just now on how to build godly character. And the topic we're coming along to this evening is meditating on God's Word. So that is going to be our theme this evening. But just to start us off, I want you to start using your imagination a little bit. So I want you to think of yourself standing in your kitchen. You go into your cupboard and you pull out a plate and you look at the plate and the plate's dirty. How do you feel? You're annoyed because there's something you want to. You're wanting to make a sandwich or do something, put something on that plate. You feel annoyed and you shout to the last person that's done the dishes, "You've not done them properly." And you get annoyed about it. And the reason for that is the plate is supposed to be clean in the cupboard. You're not supposed to have a dirty plate in your cupboard. You expect it to be clean. Like, if you came to my house and I made you a cup of tea or coffee and I gave you a mug, and you looked at the mug and there was lipstick round about it. And then when you got to the bottom of the cup, it was kind of crusty, grainy bits of dried-in food. You'd think, boke. And maybe a player wouldn't need to make you another cup of tea or coffee, but you wouldn't be happy with that. The truth is, we don't want a dirty plate and we don't want a dirty cup. When we look at ourselves in that instance, what about us as believers, as Christians? We are supposed to be clean people. We are not supposed to have any crusty, ingrained dirt in our lives. We're not supposed to have the stains and the grease of the world constantly sticking on us. We've accepted God, we've accepted Christ, and we are expected to try our best to live clean lives, holy lives, as far as we can with God. So imagine yourself in that kitchen again. You put the kettle on and you're reaching for a mug from the cupboard. You put your tea bag and your coffee in and you're filling up your mug. Where do you stop? When you're making a cup of tea, do you make a half cup of tea or a half cup of coffee, or do you make a full cup? I don't know about you, but I like a big mug and I like my big mug to be filled to the top. I like a full measure. And as believers, we need to be asking ourselves in that instance, how full are we allowing ourselves to be of God? How full do we allow the Holy Spirit to fill our lives? How much space are we giving him? Are we giving him only a half measure of our life? We should be wanting to be totally full. We should be aligning ourselves to be full of God. And we can only do that when we position ourselves in the right way towards him. So if you can turn in your Bibles this evening to Psalm 119 for me, please. So it's Psalm 119, and we're going to look from verse 9 onwards. So Psalm 119, verse 9, which says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Well, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you." So as we consider ourselves as believers, we are chosen vessels of God. We need to examine ourselves as being that cup, that dish. How clean are we? Are we that dish or that cup that needs to be washed again? We require our character, our conduct, our whole lives to be constantly renewed by God and by the Holy Spirit. And we need to cooperate with that process there. Our character is always under construction, but we need to be constantly aligned to God, to be transformed, to be conformed to his image. We need to constantly surrender ourselves to him. So as we read verse 9 from Psalm 119 here, how can a young man cleanse his way? And it goes on to say, by taking heed according to your word. So one effective way of knowing God's word and coming to the place where we allow God's word to dwell in us is opening our heart to him. If we want to be clean, we've got to take heed according to his word. So we've got to go to his word, listen to his word, and take it into our bodies, do something with the word of God. We need to let the word of God not just skim over the top of us, but to dwell in us. We need to take it into our very soul, into our being. To let it go from our heart, no, that's not my heart, that's my head, from our head into our heart. And one of the processes that we can use is meditation to do that. Now, we might say meditation, and what kind of images come into your mind? A wee lotus position, or all these kind of Eastern kind of philosophies that are out there. Alarm bells can ring, and even if somebody says to you, Christian meditation, alarm bells should ring. Because doing this subject this evening, when I'm doing a Google search on biblical meditation, there is a whole load of heresy and nonsense out there. So we need to go back to the Word to see what meditation is actually about. It's not for Buddhists, it's not for all these other people. Biblical meditation is for us. It's rooted in the Bible. If we do a word search in the King James Version and just put in meditate or meditation, it would bring you up about 20 different verses specifically that link to that. And there's lots of other words in the original language which mean the same sort of thing as well. So meditation, we can look to Isaac in Genesis 24. He meditated in the garden. Joshua meditated. The blessed man in Psalm 1 meditated. David meditated. The Apostle Paul instructed Timothy to meditate in the Word of God as well. So it's nothing to do with the position of our body. It's all to do with the position of our hearts towards God, aligning their souls and their spirits to Him. Interestingly, when I was looking at the whole topic of meditation, in the Latin, the word meditate comes from the root word meditare. And if we were to think of medical, medical is the root word medicare, two very, very similar words that come from the same root there. Now, what's to think about medicine? You're not well, you go to the doctors, you get given medicine. Does it do you any good in the packet? Of course it doesn't. What have you got to do with it?
Open it.
What do you do once it's opened?
Take it.
You've got to take it, swallow it, ingest it. It needs to go in it to be ingested, absorbed into our bodies. And then the goodness circulates throughout our whole system. That is what we're coming to when we're thinking about biblical meditation here. It's ingesting the Word of God and letting it circle around our system and do us benefit. But we need to receive the Word of God internally. Too often we can read the Word of God and let it skim over us. And we walk away and we think, what did we just read there? It's made no impact. Meditation is making sure we get the impact out of the Word of God to get the full benefit. So to meditate is to allow the written Word of God to be applied in our lives in the here and now, to be applied in our inner being, our minds, our bodies, our spirits and our souls. We can talk about the Word of God in two different ways. We've got the Logos, the written Word of God, and we've also got the Rhema, which talks about the spoken Word of God as well. Now, I'm not saying through meditation you're going to get all these direct revelations from God. You might be lucky if you do. God might be doing a special thing in you. But when we're reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit speaks the words on the page to us with a new freshness, with an insight into a circumstance in our lives. And the written Word becomes the active living Word in our lives. So the Logos Word can become that Rhema Word to us as we actually spend time with God and meditate in the Word of God. John 6:63 tells us, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So the more of the Bible that we read and we receive inwardly and we absorb, the more connected to the Spirit we're going to be and the more spiritual life we're going to have. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. They're not just words on the page. When we read them with the Holy Spirit in us, He brings them to life to us. Likewise, in Psalm 119, verse 130, it tells us there, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So the more we ingest, the more we absorb of the Word of God, the more light that we have as well. And the greater understanding we are given of the Word of God. Your Word gives light and understanding to the simple. I feel quite simple quite a lot of the times, but God can give me the understanding when I sit with Him and I position myself to receive from Him. And as we receive more light, we become those mirrors as well. We can reflect more light out to other people, because what we've taken in, we can then give out to other people for their benefit. But as I said, how often do we sit and we read the Bible and we fail to understand exactly what it's saying to us? I do it quite a lot, to my shame. But through this process of specifically sitting down, taking the time to look at the word, absorb the word, process the word, and let it cycle around in our minds, and letting our spirit connect with God, that is where we get the full benefit from it. And the penny can eventually drop, whereas we might have looked at a scripture before and get nothing from it. But it's taking that time to sit down with God and specifically seek from Him. So meditation seeks that kind of illumination from God and that revelation from God for something personal in our life, so He can speak a personal word to us through the written word that He's given us in the Bible. And we can take that word and we can hide it in our hearts, as the scripture talks about. And that's what will make us strong in the face of temptation, when we've got a word hidden in our heart. When some temptation crops up and we know the scripture to counteract it, it's hidden in there and we just bring it forth. And it can combat that temptation and that sin from cropping up in our lives. But we do always need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit for that. We feed on the words of God. We feed on His living words. We ingest the bread of life. As we take in the spiritual food, the bread of life, we've got to ingest it and we absorb it in our bodies. And again, that goodness circulates throughout us all. But as I said, too often we come to the Word of God and we think it's fast food. Read, 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 go on to the next thing. We approach it as being fast food and not a nutritional, spiritual meal for our lives and for our bodies. If we do take the time to sit with Him, to totally meditate in the Word of God, then God will grow us stronger for Him and will shine brighter for Him as well. When I came to this study, I thought, yeah, that's fair enough, but meditation, how? How? But just, how do you do it? Because we want just the kind of five steps. This is exactly what you need to do and you get the outcome. But with our spiritual life, there's not a five-step process or a whatever step process to get an outcome. God works with us individually. He will do things in our life individually, and we have to go through a certain process individually as well to get the benefit in our life. What I thought when I looked at this, though, there was a wee kind of pattern that I came with, which I thought would be quite beneficial. And it's if we think about the account of Jesus meeting the two disciples in Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus. It was after His resurrection, and He's meeting them on the road. If you want to turn to Luke 24 just now, Luke 24 from verse 28. So these two people, they failed to perceive and to understand who Jesus was as they were walking down that road. They didn't recognise Him. Luke 24 from 28 says, "Then they drew near to the village where they were going. And He, that is Jesus, indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent.' And He went in to stay with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at the table with them, that they took bread, He broke it, and He gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished from their sight." So from that account there, I'm looking at from the point of view that they went through a process which ended up in their eyes being opened and they knew Jesus. To have our eyes opened to the Lord, there's a couple of points which we can pull out there. First of all, we need to sit before God. As these two guys did here, they set the time aside to stop and they deliberately took the time to stop and sit in front of Jesus, to stop specifically and be in His presence. It wasn't a quick read of the word and on with something else. They stopped and they sat down specifically to spend time. That deliberate act there, they actually stopped Jesus. Jesus would have went on further down the road, but they said, "No, abide here with me." It was that deliberate act there. We could say that we have to stop and wait expectantly before God in a restful, kind of relaxed fashion as well, to receive from Him in a meaningful way and with a right heart as well. This could be sitting down with a cup of tea in the morning, it could be on the train, it could be anywhere, it doesn't matter where it is, but it's the position of a heart that is the most important thing. And as we draw near to God in that process, the Bible tells us in James that God will draw near to us. As we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. That process, that exchange takes place. And we can say to God, you know, speak, your servant's here, your servant wants to hear from you, speak, your servant is listening. Secondly, we need to come to a time of meditation knowing that Jesus is a giver. He wants to give to us. Going back to that account in Luke 24, where the disciples sat with Jesus. You know, he took the bread, he broke it, he blessed it, and he gave it out. He blessed, he broke, he gave out. He was given to the people. He wanted to do that in their lives. The disciples sat and they received the bread and they received from Jesus. They had open hands and God quickly filled the hands that they had. And that's what we need to be like as well. We need to sit down before God and be open-handed, wanting to receive from him. That is essentially the picture of biblical meditation. That we are sitting before God in a specific place in our hearts, seeking him, looking for him, seeking the goodness out of his word with open hands. And for me, open our hands towards God. He's not going to say no, I'm not going to fill him. He's going to do a good thing in our lives. Because he's the one who gives insight, he's the one that gives life, he's the one that increases our spirit within us. And what we're doing in this account, it's not an intellectual thing, it's a spiritual connection that we're seeking. We're seeking the Holy Spirit to bring the word to life and to do a new thing in us. But we've got to make that deliberate act of sitting down and seeking God, wholeheartedly sitting before him. And the two people did that. You know, they took the bread, they ate the bread, they absorbed the bread, and the bread did them good in their lives. Their bodies were built up. If we sit before God and the Holy Spirit and allow that work to take place, our spirits get built up in him as well. Then process was their eyes were opened and they recognised him. In our lives, if we take this time aside to meditate before God, he will open our eyes more and more and more to the things of his kingdom and open our eyes to our life and our circumstances and speak in his truth and his life in the areas where we need it. So to see Jesus and the Word of God with open spiritual eyes, sit down before God, a deliberate act, be in that place in our hearts where we want to receive from him, and open our hands out and seek God in prayer and meditation. It's quite interesting as well when we look at the two main Hebrew words for meditation in the Old Testament. And the two main words that are up on the screen here. The word, I'm going to say them, I'm probably not pronouncing them right, Haggai, which means to imagine, muse, utter, groan, meditate, speak, study, or ponder. And we've got the other word, Syak, which means to pray, heed, sing, talk, speak, commune, muse, or declare. So when we're meditating, it's not sitting down just in this kind of prayerful state. We can meditate in a whole fashion of different ways. We can sit and read the scriptures. We can maybe even write them out, rely on the Holy Spirit to do a work in us. But we might be praying them out loud. We might be speaking scripture over ourselves. We might study, or we might just sit and look at a scripture and allow God to direct our thoughts. We might meditate in a bus journey. We might have our Bible out. We might be singing a song in our head to ourselves. There's so many different ways that we can meditate that these two words bring out to us. Knowing I had this kind of study coming up, I thought, do I meditate biblically? And I kind of came to the conclusion, no, I don't think I do. So about a fortnight ago, I decided I'd maybe better start before speaking tonight. So I got myself a new notepad and had a Bible that had a verse or two for every day in the back. And I thought, that's something I'm going to do. Every day, I will write down the verse for today. And normally it happened during my train journey to work. That was my kind of time where I got a bit of peace and quiet. Nothing else was distracting. I could sit and do it then, writing out the verse and just asking God, what does that mean? How does it apply to my life? And the kind of thoughts and circumstances that came to it, I would write them out in my wee notepad. And a lot of the times I would have a wee song that would maybe link into the scripture. So I kind of wrote down the lyrics of the song that I could remember. And what I found was throughout that day I was trying to bring that scripture to mind, recalling it, keeping it going through my mind throughout the day and throughout the evening. And I thought, it's actually kind of works. Because a lot of the scriptures from the daily readings I can remember just now. And if I can't remember the exact scripture, the song that I know links into it, the song comes from that scripture, the song's in my head. And that's really what we're talking about with meditation. It's to have the scriptures or the spiritual truths constantly circling round in our minds, which then affects our heart, which then grows our spirit as well. So that's one way that I started this kind of process, but there's lots and lots of different ways that we can meditate in the proper way. But the author G.I. Packer says, meditation is a discipline. It takes a disciplined approach to consistently do that in our lives to get the benefit from it. Being really disciplined is something I'm not all that good at. For that reason, I don't do it first thing in the morning, because I am rubbish in the morning. Ask my wife. I can't get going in the morning at all. But I really like what Charles Spurgeon says as well. He said, I quarry out the truth when I read, but I smelt the ore and I get the pure gold when I meditate. So yes, when we read the Bible, we can get truth from it, but it's when we take the time out to meditate and study and ponder that we get the pure gold out of the Word of God. We get the pure gold out that really, really enriches our life. I've done the Bible in a year, reading plans and things before, and it's great to do things like that because you get that breadth of reading. But sometimes we don't just need the breadth, but we need the depth as well. And a lot of times it's just a case of, right, I'm getting through my reading for today. That's done, Bible down, and we go on with our day. That's the approach that I took quite a lot anyway. But when we meditate, when we just take just that smaller chunk, focus on it, keep it cycling round in our minds and our hearts and our spirits all day long, something happens with it. It gets planted deep within us, and it becomes that pure gold in our lives. So with meditation, it's pondering, remembering, circulating the truths of God, considering what it means in our own lives, and the words of God dwell richly within us, as Colossians 3:16 says. That is the outcome from meditating on the Word of God. You know, what do we meditate on, though? The Word of God's quite big, isn't it? A lot of kind of books in that Bible of ours, that would take quite a lot to meditate through the full Bible. But God knows our situations, He knows our needs, He knows the things that we're struggling with or that we need to work on. So we just come to God and we kind of ask Him in prayer to point me to something that I can meditate on, whether it's a book of the Bible or just a short section of the Bible. If there's a specific area of our life we're having trouble with, be it a sin or a temptation or be it a difficult time at work, then we can seek out the scriptures that talk about that area. And those are the things that we can meditate on. We can keep cycling around, keep the truths of God in our minds. And He can do something with that and transform our hearts in those situations there. But in essence, we can pick any scripture. 2 Timothy 3, 16-17 tells us, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable to us. All scripture. So no matter what we pick, it's going to do something good in our lives. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think in these things. Pick something good and let that Word of God dwell in us. Let it bring the good out in us as well. Take it into our bodies, absorb it, get the nutrients out of it, keep it circulating round. And God will do a good thing with His Word. Very quickly, I'm just going to look at some 4 points from meditating on the Word of God. And the first 2 points can be found in Psalm 1. We're told from Psalm 1 that the person who meditates will be blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. So one benefit of meditating in the Word of God is we'll be blessed. And when we look at that word blessed in the Hebrew, it means happy. And we all want to be happier in our lives. If we meditate in the Word of God, we will be blessed and we will be happier people. Despite our external circumstances, despite what's going on in our lives, God can bring a happiness into us when we focus on His Word. As I said, the blessed man here, it's not just that quick skim of the Word of God. Word read, out of the way. It's that meditating on it, keeping it going in our minds. That kind of day and night aspect that we're looking at there. And we can think of a cow in that respect. A cow sitting in the field chewing the grass. Chew, chew, chew. Chews the grass all day long. Fills its stomach. But a cow has got 4 different stomachs. Once his stomach number one's full, it'll go away and retire in the field, and then it'll regurgitate from stomach one into stomach two, and it'll rework the grass. It's been fed and filled, but then what he's been filled with, he chews it over and over and over and gets all the goodness out of that grass. And what does a cow make?
Milk.
Nutritious, life-giving milk. All the goodness is get out of the grass and it produces a life-giving substance. If we are a spiritual cow, that sounds a bit wrong, doesn't it? We'll take as much of the Word of God as we can, but we'll constantly remember it, chew it over, circulate it around in our minds and our hearts and our spirits. We'll chew, 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 and we'll get all of the nutrients and all of the goodness out of the Word of God. What digestion is to the body, meditation is to the soul. That's what we're looking at here, this kind of picture of the cow. The second benefit says a meditator will be nourished and will have freshness. From Psalm 1 verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So when we're steeped in the Word of God in meditation, this results in action in our lives. Well, the tree in the psalm here, we're in a position where we're constantly being nourished. That's the action that's taking place, that nourishing. We're soaking up all the goodness and the nourishment, and we find satisfaction from what we're feeding on. The tree, if it's a really, really, really sunny, sunny time, that tree is going to survive because it's planted next to the water. In our lives, we need to be planted next to the water as well, the living water, the water of God, all the richness and the goodness that he can give us. That tree here, it could drink the water because it was right next to the water, and the water kept that tree going, no matter what was going on externally, whether it was spring, summer, winter or autumn, the tree was next to the water and the tree was fine. We need to position ourselves correctly to receive from God. Whether it's an easy time in our life or a hard time in our lives, position yourself to receive from God and he will keep you going. He's got everything that we do need. He will give us all that we need, but we need to go to him with those open hands, ready to receive from him too. To be close enough to God to drink from the rivers of living water which he offers to us. And we find that this tree is in a secure, planted position. That tree is not moving anywhere. It's grounded and it's rooted and it's connected to the water. We need to be that solid in our lives as well, to be anchored like a tree, anchored in the Word of God through reading the Word and through meditating on the Word of God. And we will have that correct intake in our lives. And we will remain firm and we'll remain nourished and we'll not wilt either. So the tree in the Psalms here, the tree doesn't wilt, the tree doesn't fade because the tree is connected in the correct fashion. The tree is constantly being refreshed. If I had to speak to people that can around you on a daily basis, how refreshing would they say you are in their lives? We go to 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. The Lord grant to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and he was not ashamed of my chain. And we go to 1 Corinthians 16:18. I am glad about the coming of Stephanus, Fortunus and Achaeus, for what was lacking in your part they supplied, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. So in the Timothy verse, he often refreshed me. In the 1 Corinthians verse, they refreshed my spirit and others. Are we those refreshing types of people? Have we taken in so much that we can refresh other people? That's what building godly character in us should do. We're built up in the things of God, and then we can give out in the things of God as well. Our character will show the God that we serve when we do these things. The third benefit of meditation is there'll be a delight in our life as well. Our experience of delight will increase as we meditate in the Word of God. Psalm 119:35 says, "Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight." David didn't find the Word of God boring or dry or irrelevant. He delighted in it. He delighted in the author of the Word of God. When we delight in the Word of God, when we seek the Word of God, when we dive into it, we ask God to reveal it to us and we seek out all the truths and the goodness from the Word, we will delight in the Word of God as well, and we'll want to be there more and more and more the more we read, the more we want to read, and the greater that we feel about it. Loving God, loving God's people, loving what God wants to do, will all result in our lives when we study the Word of God and meditate on it. And I would commend you to have a look at Psalm 119 and look at all the instances of meditation and delight that's mentioned in Psalm 119, and meditation as well. It's a great one to bring through all of these different themes here. So meditation will bring happiness, nourishment, freshness and delight. And the final point we're going to look at is from Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. And it says that meditation will bring prospering and success. So Joshua 1, verse 7 to 8. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all of the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to what is written in it. For then your way will be made prosperous, and then you will have good success. So in the life of Joshua, the hard task to do. He had to lead Israel after the death of Moses. He had all the Old Testament scriptures in his hand that he had to follow. He had to meditate in them day and night and do according to what they said. He had to meditate in all those Old Testament scriptures. And if he did, and if he obeyed them, then he would be successful. And then he would be prosperous in his life. Does God want us to prosper and be successful people? I think the answer would be yes. Maybe not the way the world sees prosperity or the world sees success, but spiritually he wants our walk with him to be successful. He wants our walk with him to be prosperous. That can take place when we meditate on his word day and night. When we're constantly in the word, when we ingest the word, absorb the word, let the word constantly go around in our lives, then he will bring this to pass in our life as well. He will make us successful and he will make us to prosper. As I said, we might still go through hard times and difficult times, but spiritually, that is the goal, that is the aim that he's wanting to have with us. Now, just to finish us off, I've came across this wee term. I thought, you know, that links in quite well. Have you ever heard of such a thing as water intoxication? The possibility of fatality by ingesting too much water. Water poisoning, for another way of putting it, it can happen. And I thought, I never knew that. That's an interesting fact. And how this normally works is athletes that go through a lot of exercise and then tan down lots of water, or the most common one is water drinking competitions. And I came across this one in 2007. It was a radio that held a water drinking competition in California. And it was to win a Wii games console. And it was no pee for a wee. How much water you could drink without going to the toilet to win this wee. So one contestant drank over 7 litres of water and had phoned in. And she says, oh, it's funny, I look pregnant again. My belly's that full of the water. But about 4 hours after phoning the radio competition, phoning in, she'd actually died. Because she drank too much water and her electrolytes and the balance of her body totally went off kilter and she died. It's a tragic story, that's quite a hard one. But spiritually speaking, I was thinking, you know, a heavy intake of God's word, the living water, a heavy intake of that can kill our flesh. Our fleshly person, the flesh that rises up in us, a heavy intake of the word of God can kill our fleshly nature and our fleshly desires. Meditating in the word of God is ingesting that water, the living water, absorbing it and letting it do its work within us. So this evening I want us to think of ingesting the word of God, ingesting and taking in that living water, to let it do something in our lives. Our godly character can grow, our fleshly nature can disappear or reduce, and our spiritual life can increase. That is what meditation can do for us. We started off in the kitchen and they'll end in the kitchen. The making the cup of the tea scenario. Think of your mind as being a cup of hot water. The tea bag is your intake of scripture. Hearing the word of God, one dip of the tea bag creates an effect. You're coloured, you're taking on some of the flavour. But the more dunks that you have, the stronger the tea becomes. The more flavour, the more aroma, the more rich that tea cup becomes. That is great. That's our reading the Word of God, constantly looking at our scriptures. But meditating in the Word of God is dunking that tea bag in and leaving it. It percolates and it stews and it gets darker and darker and more full of flavour. That is what we're looking at here this evening. If we want to go into the depths of God, we need to actually soak ourselves in the Word of God. Absorb, and let God do something with it in our lives. To sit down specifically to spend time with Him, with open hands, with open hearts, and let God do that work in us. So we need to brew our minds in the things of God, meditate in His Word, and let Him do a work in us and develop a godly character in our lives. As Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you we can look into your word this evening. We recognise, Lord God, that your words are life and their spirit. We pray, Father God, you would do a work in our lives using your word. That as we align ourselves to you, God, as we open up our hearts and our hands and our spirits to you, that you indeed would fill our hearts. That you would fill our hands, Lord, that you would do a great and mighty work in our lives. Father God, we commit ourselves to you, Lord. We commit ourselves to you to do something new in our lives. As we look to your holy word, we pray that you would give us a new insight, a new revelation that speaks into our circumstances, into our difficulties, Father God, that you can do something to grow the strength that we have in you. Lord God, we long to be like that tree planted by the river, constantly nourished, constantly standing there strong and firm and rooted. We long to be rooted in you, Lord God. We long to constantly soak up the goodness from your word and for that to benefit in our lives, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, that we've got access to the Bible, that we've got free access in this country, Lord, and we pray, Lord, you would give us a desire to constantly be in your holy word. We desire to have a good breadth of understanding, a good breadth of reading as we go through the Bible. But Lord, help us to get that depth as well. Help us to percolate our minds and our spirits in the word of God. And we pray, Lord God, that you would do that mighty work within us. That you would change us and grow us and conform us and transform us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this evening. Just pray, Lord, that your truths would indeed be planted deep within our hearts and our spirits, and that you would bring them to our remembrance when we need them, Father. We just pray, Lord God, as we continue on with your evening, that you would just be with Janice as she leads us now in a couple of songs of worship to you. Help us, Lord, to worship with an open heart and with open hands. Help us, Lord, to worship in spirit and in truth. We just ask you to bless the rest of our evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.